As you know, I try very hard to correlate the three readings, but I spent all week trying to somehow connect these three, and I came up absolutely empty. So it caused me to focus more than I probably normally would have on the gospel, which is all right. In fact, it is. I hope it has been very productive for me, and I hope it will be for you. What's going on in this little passage from Mark? Who is this guy? Jesus. What makes him unique? Because he's God and he walks on water? No. Because he exhibits, at least in the gospel portraits we have of him, more than anybody else, the most profoundly human quality that I know, which is clarity of sight. Jesus looks at the world clearly, it seems, as opposed to the way I look at the world, which is filtered to me, both consciously and unconsciously, by my fears, by my anger, by my resentment, by sadness, by a whole catalog of things that dim and cloud my vision. And so he sees these religious authorities, the scribes, the lawyers, the specialists in the religious law, doing something hypocritical. These great religious personages with all kinds of status and prestige in the community, somehow Jesus sees them clearly as phony. I, who am so easily put off by long robes and long prayers and the head table at banquets, etc., etc., etc. Oh, that must be quality. And he said, oh, no. Look again. What is really going on there? We are being conned, and we allow ourselves to be conned by reputation, by appearances. But this is what's really happening. These people are hypocrites, worse than hypocrites. Positively malign as they oppress the poor. And it's the same thing in the case of this woman. Well, we're impressed that Bill Gates, who has $60 billion, can spend a couple billion on malaria research and AIDS. And he's fettered. Oh, is that terrific? And it's good that he does. But that, how close to the bone of his life does that cut? And somehow, if anachronistically, all the wealthy people drove up in their Mercedes and Porsches and Beamers, and this lady straggles in on foot. I'm sure if I had been there, all of that wonderful machinery would have dazzled me to the extent that I could not see what was really going on, and Jesus did. You see, it's the most human thing to see the world as it is, as opposed to the way I distortedly appropriate the world. And it is out of that profound humanity that later Christian thought began to say there's something more than the merely human here. That Jesus really does have a God's eye vision on what's going on. And so in time, He came to say that Jesus was divine. And now we've offended the saints so that we can't see Jesus' humanity anymore because we've been overglowed by talk of Jesus' divinity. We need to reappropriate the whole process whereby the divinity of Jesus came to be an object of faith. And the need for this clarity, of course, is perennial. We have one great example within the past week that people still, even after a long time, can struggle to a clarity of vision when, because of the Iraq War, George Bush's Congress was no longer Republican but is now Democratic. That should be a moment of great hope for us. And in the course of this Remembrance Day, there's a wonderful book called Patriotic Gore, in which the thesis of the author is that any war, as long as it's our war, has to be just. We have to have all those corpses decorated with laurel wreaths because they are heroes. Folks, there's a line in the Hebrew Scriptures that says the anger of human beings does not work the justice of God. And if there's anything that says that clearly more than anything else in the world, it is the fact of human brutality in war. I think it's Henry V, meditating on the coming battle, says, "I do not think anybody dies well who dies in battle." From what I can tell, thank God I've never been in that situation, but I've seen enough and read enough and know enough. And know that that's true. And then, after they're dead, we have to welcome them home as some larger than life lovers of the country, etc., etc., etc. We are not helped by that, folks. I don't believe we are not helped by that. Remembrance Day ought to be an occasion for remembrance of our own fallibility, our own narrowness of vision, our own self-interest projected onto the world and justifying our barbaric behavior more often than not. So, this man, Jesus, who simply looked at the same world I occupy, that's what clearly. So we can pray that that clarity of vision, first of all, penetrate the church, because as I read these things last Sunday night, I thought, oh my God, there's Bernard Law. There's Roger Mahone. They're the cardinals of the Roman Curia saying, oh no, 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 this sexual abuse. Really, it's a propagandistic attack on the Holy Roman Church. Oh, really? So, we are called to be aware of our own blindness. And as we said, as the Gospel said in the case of the blind beggar a couple of weeks ago, to act, to be able to really see.